Good morning, everyone. Just going to put this here because I might need to use it today. I don't know. We'll wait and see. Thank you, team, for leading us as you have. And one thing I did appreciate, you wouldn't have picked it up, but many of the slides that we've been using today with the words of the songs on it have displayed a river with heaps of growth around its banks. And I appreciated seeing that because that fits right in to the theme of today as we look at the river of God from Ezekiel 47, in which we'll read part of in a few minutes. In recent years, we have seen a lot of television news footage on the devastation, the destruction of some of the natural forces of our planet. Things like winds, typhoons, tornadoes, hurricanes, call them what you like, have beaten in on nations and on cities and on various locations around the world and brought incredible destruction. We have seen on television news the results of fire spreading rapidly through various locations in different parts of the world, bringing in with itself destruction, destroying the natural habitat, destroying homes, destroying people's lives, destroying families and businesses. We have also seen floods. We have seen water raging down city and town streets, bringing destruction with it. We've seen all of this. And this is all part of the nature, the natural forces that are in our world. But those same forces, rain, wind, fire, although terribly destructive at times, can also be incredibly positive and for our good. Wind and rain brings cleansing and refreshing. Fire brings warmth. You can cook with it. You can do a whole heap of things with it. And in the form of gentle winds and of rivers that flow strongly but freely within their restrictive banks, those things can bring refreshing and life to a community and to a nation. And on many occasions in his word, God takes the powerful forces of nature, the forces of wind and water and fire, and uses those to describe various aspects of his power and of his desire to see people taking hold of all that God's got for us. They're all biblical pictures of the Holy Spirit and of his moving in our world, his moving in our individual personal lives, in our relationship with God, and also in the life of a body of people like us as a church and like other churches throughout our nation and throughout our world. And the Spirit of God moving in incredible ways amongst the people of God. Now we're going to read together the Ezekiel chapter 47. I suppose, just the first 12 verses. I suppose that most of us have got our favourite passages of Scripture, our favourite sections of God's Word that we look back on with pleasure. This is one of mine. I can't recall what happened or when it was when I first came across this. It was probably back in the mid to late 1970s when I was really searching for more that God had for me, and beginning a life of ministry, pastoral ministry. I can't remember, but I do know this, that God spoke to me. And I hope, my prayer is that today God will speak to each one of us in similar kinds of ways. no matter how long we've been following Jesus. So let me read it. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. Now that's about 450 meters. Measured off 1,000 cubits. And then he led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, and now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah." That's the Jordan Valley area, where it enters the sea. That's the Dead Sea, just to put everything in some geographical perspective. That's the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Eneglaim, where there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Great Sea, that's the Mediterranean. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. Ezekiel 47 is one picture of God pouring out his love and his grace into a very needy world. Can we catch something of that vision? Use your imagination as we share this morning. And your imagination of what God has for us and how he wants us to live. It's for each of us as individuals, and it's for us as a church community together in this area. It's a picture not of a destructive river that destroys everything in its path, but rather a river that flows strongly but gently. A river that draws people to it and therefore draws them to God. And a river that produces incredible and permanent life along its banks. It's just like the natural rivers around us in our nation. As it moves on, it increases in volume as it goes. And Ezekiel 47 is part of a vision that God gave to Ezekiel, a vision that was to be shared with Israel as a nation, a vision that has been recorded for all generations through history, including us today. You see, Ezekiel was a priest and a prophet who had been in exile in Babylon along with all the others from Israel that were in that exile. He'd been there for about 25 years. He was a man of deep faith who emphasized the need for that inner renewal of heart and life and spirit, and the responsibility for each individual to face up to God for his or her own relationship and actions before God. Ezekiel's hope, his dream, his vision was for the restoration of Israel back to their homeland, back to where God had originally planted them. And from chapter 40 onwards, there is the vision for a restored temple and a restored nation. And chapter 47 is a vision of a river that flows from the very center of God's presence, and it flows in the course that God has set for it to flow in. For us today, this is a river of never-ending spiritual, supernatural grace of God at work in our lives. For a thirsty church in the midst of a hurting and disillusioned world, it's the flow of God's Spirit, of God's holiness, of God's righteousness, of God's power, his grace, of God's very self, flowing forth from the very center of God into the church and into the world. And we are called to be caught up in that flow. But not only as individuals are we called to be caught up in it, we together, along with every other church in our community, every other church in the world indeed, to get caught up with God and the flowing of his Spirit out into our world. This is the surge of the power of the Holy Spirit starting in the very nature and the character of God, pouring out across a barren, arid scene of misery and corruption and sin and death, bringing healing and hope and salvation and renewal and life. And where the river flows, we read, everything lives. Catch the vision. Where the river flows, everything lives. That's what a hurting, broken world, generation in which we live, needs. The forgiving grace and mercy of a mighty God. And that's what we need as a church. I'm not saying we haven't got it. What I'm saying is we need to retain it and make sure that it's retained. Make sure that it's always there. Make sure that we move with God. And not according to our own interests, our own fashion, our own desires, the things that we think are best, but moving with God. In a world of compromise and of sensuous attitudes, of a breakdown in traditional and biblical standards, where the pressure is on all of us to be PC, politically correct, and liberal, towards various issues, in a world of hard-nosed, cutthroat business and the falling apart of strong marital and family relationships. It's in that kind of world that we live. And that's the world that we need to take into this river of God with us as we walk this life. And this river constantly produces fruit along its banks. It's not just an annual harvest. It's just constant, regular, every month by month by month, the production of edible fruit, the production of the presence and grace of God at work in the lives of those who immerse themselves in that river. And God wants to work that within us. There are painful issues in our lives that we have to face. Some of those are very painful. But God is with us. I appreciated what Dave said earlier in the service as he was leading us. And God wants to walk with us through those and help us to solve them. And he will show us the solutions to our predicaments. But we need to release them to him first. And God will give us the ability and the power to be witnesses for him. That is by his grace, and he does it. And he wants us to see our friends, our families, our schoolmates, our university friends, or everyone around us being drawn to and caught up in the flow of that river. We know that Jesus has already won the victory through the cross and the resurrection. We know that. But each of us must consistently, continuously immerse ourselves in the depths of a relationship with God, if that is to bear fruit in the lives of others. He's promised to empower us to serve him, and he will do that. But we can't get that by walking along the banks of the river and by observing things from a distance. This is what some people do. They pretend they're involved and immersed in the river of God. They can even appear to others to be involved. But really what they're doing is walking along the banks or just dipping their toes into the edge of God's river. And it's very easy, and I've seen it over the years, for people to come and in a worship service like this on a Sunday, for example, and this is just one example, to come and appear as if they are immersed in that river. Give the impression that they are. But the reality is not always like that. Anyway, these verses that we read divide into two categories. Firstly, our experience with God. That's in verses 1 through 6. I trust that as we read this, you notice that there is an increasing depth. The river deepens as it flows. Firstly, there's water to the ankles. And then there's water to the knees. And then there's water to the waist. And then there's water so deep that it can only be swum in. You can't walk across it. It can only be swum in. And every individual Christian, every local church needs to have the vision of going deeper and deeper and deeper with God. Within 1,800 meters of its source, Ezekiel's river was too deep to cross. Now that is a challenge to me. 1,800 meters, that's not very far. And it begs of me and it begs of each one of us the question, how long have I been a Christian? How long have I been a follower of Jesus? And how deep is the river of God that I'm living in? How deep is the river where we are at present? Are we actually in the river? Or are we in and out and observing the flow from the banks? You know, I personally don't feel very safe in water, swimming in water at all. I don't go out beyond my depth, never. I just don't feel confident in doing that. I need to be able to touch the bottom. So I make sure that in the physical, I only go into the shallower waters. But spiritually, we're not meant to do that. Okay? Spiritually, that's a no-no. We're meant to discover and enter into the depths, but some people prefer the shallower waters because we feel more secure, we feel less threatened, we feel more comfortable. So instead of abandoning completely to God and the river of God that can only be swum in, we just like to keep some personal control and go where we can touch the bottom spiritually. In the physical river, that's fine. But spiritually, it needs to be different. We say this far and that's enough. And people who say that have never had the joy of experiencing the freedom which results from total abandonment to God. I've been a Christian probably for nearly 60 years, a follower of Jesus. And yeah, I've had all my ups and downs and all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. But it's fantastic to know that there are still many things to discover about Jesus. Many things. And there's still much more of God's grace for me and for all of us to venture into, to step out in faith, to trust God, and to be available for God. And I trust that for my life there's many more opportunities, whatever form they may take, to touch the lives of others. Now, verse 6 contains one of the most important questions in all of Scripture. Do you see this? Not do you see it as you see me, I see you now with physical eyes. But do you know it? Do you know the reality? Ezekiel was asked, Son of man, do you see this? Do you know it? Do you understand it? Are you involved in it? Are you experiencing it? Is it part of who you are? Do you see it? Do you see the depths of that river? And God asks us that very same question today. Not only as individuals, but as a church together. Do we see it? Do we know it? I'm not saying for one moment that we don't. But what I am saying is, let's continue a vision of making sure that we do see it. That we do see it at all times. You see, one of the dangers for any church is that of complacency. And we have seen as a church family God doing some fantastic things in our church over the years. Some of you have been here a lot longer than I have, and you have seen the growth and the dynamic and the moving of God in this place, and I know only a little bit of its history. And I can rejoice and celebrate in that. But God wants us all not to be complacent, not to say, well, that's good, that's cool, let's put our feet up and let's enjoy what we've got. Let's not do that. As a church family and as individuals within that family, let's make sure that we are swimming in the depths of God's river. The second set of six verses is our ministry for God. And so as we in our individual and corporate relationship with God go from strength to strength, from insight to insight, from revelation to revelation, from one degree of glory to another, as it were, from depth to depth, from the love for Jesus Christ that we have today into a greater love which we have for him tomorrow. then all of these aspects of our relationship flow out of us as we are caught up in that flow, and it produces life in others. Why does God give us blessings? So that we can sit nice and comfortably and cozy in our own little nest? No way. He gives us blessings so we can bless others. He does work in our lives so that we can be used by Him to do work in the lives of others. Why does God give us His power, His Holy Spirit, so that we can witness effectively and strongly into the lives of others? And in these verses we see that Ezekiel's river produces trees lining the banks of the river as it flows. We see vegetation in the midst of a dry, barren desert area. It brings freshness and life and huge numbers of fish into the Dead Sea. That's the workings of God. And that's, I trust, what we can catch a vision of. And that's fruit, as I said before, that is there on a monthly harvest for nourishment and health. And it's all on us to take hold of all that God has got for us. Our influence as adults has a huge impact upon our children and our grandchildren. The best teachers of spiritual life in Christ, of ethics and morality, are parents, grandparents. When children look at us older ones, and they look at their parents and their grandparents, what do they see? Do they see someone whom they love and respect, and who does not wade around in the shallows of a relationship with God, but rather someone who is swimming in the depths, involved in the depths of God? Well, I hope so. But it's a frightening thought sometimes, isn't it? What do they see? What do they see? You see, if we paddle around in the shallows, we play nice religious games and look all spiritual, but our impact on the generation, the younger generations, and children and youth will not be what it could be. And I want to encourage you, I plead with you, for the sake of today's children and future generations yet to be born, make sure that our relationship with God is strong and healthy and well. Because these kids and the teenagers look at us, and they think, and they know, and they can measure us, our relationship with God. Now, I want to encourage you to see, to think through how this will all come about. How will it come about? This is no unattainable dream. This is no spiritual pie in the sky. This is reality. This is the Word of God. And God doesn't put anything in here for us that is unattainable. How do we get into the deep waters? How do we experience as a daily norm of living the depths of God's river? Let me ask that same question again. Do you see this? And let's be ruthlessly honest before God. Step out in faith. Take risks for God. Ask and receive His fullness of grace and spirit. Reorder our priorities. If that's needed, step out of your comfort zone and tell God that you want the absolute best that He has available for you in life. And trust God, because He's not going to let you down. He won't let you down at all. No way. God's river is strong but gentle. It's not destructive. It doesn't produce chaos and fear amongst God's people. It's constant. It all comes from his very presence, from the very center of God. It produces life and fullness and growth and maturity and character. And I want to encourage you to make sure that today and tomorrow and every day in the future, you are in the midst of the depths of God's river, being available for God. Catch the vision. Catch the vision. You know something? God will not let us drown. He won't let us drown. He will use us for his glory and to build his kingdom. Now here's something, just as I bring this to a conclusion, here's something I want to encourage you to do this week. Take your Bible and read every day these verses from Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to 12. Read it again and again and again and say, God, what have you got for me? Show me. Because, Lord, I don't want to paddle around in ankle-deep water. I don't want to paddle in the shallows of knee-deep water or even water up to the waist, Lord. I want to be able to be involved in your river that can only be swum in. And make that your prayer every day this week. Ezekiel 47, 1 to 12. And see what God does. And let me say this, that when God does something, tell someone. Tell your Connect group leader. Tell Murray or Cherry as our pastors. They'd love to hear it from you. Really love to hear it. Brings great joy and encouragement to them as pastors. And believe me when I say that pastors need encouragement. Okay? And so pray. And ask God to let you go into the depths of his river and be all that he wants you to be for him and for his kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the river of God, the river of life that flows out of the very center of who you are, of your being. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives as individuals and in the life of this church in the past. But Lord, as we move on into the future, we pray for even greater involvement, for greater vision, for greater challenges, for greater opportunities. We pray, Father, for an outpouring of your grace, for an outpouring of your Spirit, for a work that you can do within us. Help each one of us, Lord, and we together as a family of people to be caught up in the depths of your river, we pray. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, upon us, upon our children, upon our grandchildren, upon the generations yet to come. May they benefit from the decisions which we make now for your glory. Guide and lead us, we pray, as we enter into a great future. Living for you, we ask in the name of our Savior Jesus, and for his glory we ask it. Amen.